What's up? Welcome to episode 10 of Mindful, Mostly. I'm Andrea Collins, and I'm pretty into mindful living. I mean, mostly. This show is about balance. It's a wellness show, but an honest one. No crystals up the butt here. No judgment, sister. If you're looking for some guidance in your life, maybe you're feeling a little lost these days, check out episode 5, How to Hear What the Universe is Telling You. I want to tell you what happened the other day. Long story short, Steve and I got a house, which is just crazy. I feel like I became a grown-up over the weekend. But in where I currently live now, in our apartment, I have this big, giant Matisse painting. I kind of did a Matisse ripoff a couple of years ago when I was in this like artistic feeling moment and I loved the picture, so I sort of recreated it on a really big canvas and I love it. I don't see it very many other places. When we were looking at this house last week, we had gone to all of the rooms and finally we went to the basement and there was the same picture, which I thought, that is a sign from the universe. And you know what? That's the house we own now. So I kind of put it together. That was a very expensive sign, actually, now that I think about it. But if you want to get in touch with vibes like that and really pause and get those signs, you got to tune into episode 5. Plus, the last one, the confidence equation. Maybe you're not feeling as confident these days. It is January, sort of a tough month. How to get it and keep it. We all need a little bit more of it. Check out episode 9. Also, subscribe to the podcast. Let me know what you think and join the community, which I am so happy to be part of with you guys at Mindful Mostly. So, do you want to be one of those people that lives according to moon phases? I know I do, but I don't really know where to begin. This week, we have a blue moon and an eclipse, so this one's a big deal, but so are all of the phases. So today, we are talking with moon expert Diane Ahlquist. She has 2 books that are out right now, Moon Magic and Moon Spells. And she's going to tell us how to use the moon to get what you want. It's a powerful tool. And after this week's episode, you're going to know how to use it. Raise your hand if this makes you want to watch the movie The Craft, by the way. But for real, she's going to tell us how to use the power of the moon when it comes to getting what we want, how to cast certain spells, which is so cool. And she's just going to explain the phases a bit more to us so we can really kind of get it and live our lives by it a little bit more. But first, it is time for the Soul Nugget shout out. This one comes from at the Prosperity Girl, and actually we're going to be having her on the show in a couple of weeks. She says, you're never going to be 100% ready, and it's never going to be just the right time, but that's the point. It means that every moment is also the right moment, and if you want it, you just got to do it. Yes. And this one, let the unknown turn you on. Okay. Oh, we got the Moon Lady on the line. The author of Moon Spells and Moon Magic and many others, it is moon expert Diane Ahlquist. Now tell me, why do we need to start living our lives by the moon?
Well, I think that because we've become so high-tech, you know, as of late, that people are getting a little tired of that, so they're kind of looking at nature again. And if you can sync yourself with the phases of the moon, and there are virtually 8, but for conversation's sake, I deal with basically 4, you can kind of make your life much easier. It's like instead of swimming against the tide, you know, you swim with the tide. So there are different ways to interact with the moon energy. And briefly, for instance, when the moon is full, that's when the energy is the most intense. And I think some people are what I call them moon tolerant, where they can deal with full moon energy, and some people are moon sensitive, where they kind of get nervous and they're all hyper and they're more talkative, and their energy is like having too many, you know, energy drinks. But for the ones who are moon tolerant, you can use that full moon energy to do meditations and to think about things that you want in life to make them come into fruition. And in the book, I talk about how to do these meditations. And again, after the moon goes from full and it starts to look like it's less and less in the sky, that's called waning. So at that time, it's a good time to get rid of things you want in life, like ex-boyfriends or girlfriends you don't want. It's a good time to clean. It's a good time to stop addictions. It's a good time to start diets because you want to get rid of something. Mm. So it's almost like, you know, making common sense. And then it goes to a dark moon where there's no moon. And those are usually on the calendar, those big black dots we see.
I always thought that that was the new moon, was the dark moon. But I
right.
guess that's just a whole nother phase in itself.
You're absolutely right. Some people will call the moon, new moon and the dark moon the same, but real technically, and I'm certainly not, a scientist, I'm not very good with scientific explanations, but a new moon is actually when you can see just a tiny, tiny sliver of light, but the dark moon phase is when there's really no light at all. And of course, light doesn't come from the moon. It's a, you know, reflection of the sun. But that's a good time in a dark moon where there's a big black dot is to just kind of reflect and think about, you know, your plans for the future. And then as the moon starts to wax, again, it appears like it's getting bigger in the sky. This is a good time to maybe look for jobs, to figure out how you're going to make some more money in your life. It's like anything you want more of. So I basically, in this book, talk about that quite a bit, where if we sync ourselves with the phases and use those phases, things just kind of flow in our life much easier.
So what is it that helps it flow easier? Is it like the gravitational pull of the moon? Or, I mean, I am not scientific either.
Well, the scientific part is right. You know, the water in a full moon kind of pulls up, and that makes plants more leafy and it makes them grow more. So, and you know, all the fishermen, of course, want to fish when there's a full moon, because what it does, it shifts the tides and it stirs up all the little fish on the bottom of the water, and then the big fish come and eat the little fish, and then the fishermen catch the big fish. So you can tell that I live in a fishing area, but that's sort of the scientific part. But you know, metaphysically speaking, I think that the light from the moon and the reflection and the energy just kind of uplifts us. And then as it gets lesser and lesser, it kind of brings us down a little bit. So that's why I work with the phases. And mm-hmm. sometimes those phases can even help you. I don't want to say too much about medical things, but, you know, on a medical level too, you know, a good time to get rid of something in your body, let's say like a tooth you've been meaning to have pulled, is to do it when the moon is waning, when it looks like it's, when you're kind of releasing, that tooth is going to probably come out easier.
Mm. Now, as far as setting intentions and goals, would it be best to do that? You said the full moon has the most energy, but then you also mm-hmm. said when it's waxing, that's kind of like you're talking about the things you want to grow just as the moon is growing. What's a better time to set intentions?
I would say a good time to actually set intentions is sometimes at a dark moon, when you can just kind of sit and contemplate. And then when the moon is waxing, because if you're saying an intention, you want to do something. You want to change or shift something. So it's going to require more energy. So I would say at a time when you just don't do anything, or when the moon's just starting to wax. And, you know, intentions are really everything. You have to have a plan, even when it comes to the phases of the moon, because you have to be very aware of the phases. Mm. And so you have to have a little journal sometimes that you can write down what happened when you did a meditation or whatever, when the moon was waning or waxing, and see how that works out for you. And you'll kind of get to know your own rhythms.
Do you physically have to see the moon when you're doing these sorts of meditations, or is it just knowing that that's the state that it's in?
It's just knowing that that's the state that it's in. Because if I had to For instance, I'll use myself living in Florida. If I had to go out and do a moon meditation when the moon was waxing and sit in my backyard, it would be filled with mosquitoes. We have bobcats. It's 100 degrees. And, you know, and it's dark out.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit outside with mosquitoes when I know I can sit inside and look at a picture of a moon. I have moon paintings. I can look at a plate. Pretend it's a moon. I can just visualize the moon in my mind, but the energy is there. You don't have to see it. Or sometimes I'll just run outside for a minute and I'll look at the moon phase and I'll try to hold that vision in my head, and then I'll come back in and I'll do my moon meditation. But by all means, it's just the energy is there, so you don't have to physically see it.
Okay. Yeah, because I think I have a condo in the way, some sort of high-rise building. Now, in one of your books, I can't remember if it was Moon Magic or Moon Spells, you were saying that there was a very pessimistic man that you knew who was saying he hadn't gone on a date in a really long time because they just, like, weren't working for him. And you said to him, okay, well, look, just hear me out. Go on a date when it's X phase of the moon. I can't remember what it was. And then see how that date goes. And then now he's married and has kids. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go on a series of dates, when should you be setting them up for?
What I would do is I would do a meditation or a moon spell, depending on what book you're looking at. I would do it right. I would start doing it when the moon starts to wax, because you're going to get to know more about the person. You're going to learn more about that person. Your energy is going to be up. You're going to be maybe a little more bubbly or a little interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also, if you went on the night of a full moon, that would be fine too, but it's like be prepared, because people, they get very anxious, and sometimes they're not even themselves. So I don't think I would, personally, I wouldn't go on a date if I were single. On the night of a full moon, but it can also be very, very exciting. So I would say after I got to know the person, you know, try a full moon date and just see how it goes, but be very leery of it.
Okay. Now, there's a big moon coming up on January 31st. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a super moon, and it's a super blue moon, which only comes about, you know, every 150 years. And what a super moon is, it's a full moon. It's when the point of the moon's like orbit, as it orbits around the Earth, is the closest to the Earth. So it seems bigger, it seems brighter, everything is more, you know, intense. And on that day also, the moon is, we're going to have a lunar eclipse. So we have three events going on. We have a blue moon, which is the second full moon in every month, and we had a full moon already at the beginning of January. So this is the second one. That's what makes it a blue moon. And then it's a super moon, because it's going to orbit close to the Earth, closer than normal, and it's going to be bigger and brighter. And then it's going to also be a lunar eclipse. So that's a lot going on. So everything that a full moon would, let's say, have to offer in ways of energy is going to be more intense.
Okay, so that leads to the question, what sort of spell should we do that night? Are there a couple of options that you can give us?
Yes, if you're doing spells, in my book Moon Spells, I talk about spells, and in Moon Magic, I talk about meditation. And there are two kind of different things. It's all an appeal to your subconscious mind, but in Moon Spells, you have more elements that you might want to work with. Like you could use incense, and you could use crystals, and you have to do a lot more to prepare during your meditation or your spell, but sometimes that's what works for people because they had to do so much to build up to it. They're already half the way there with their intention. But that would be a very good time to do, let's say, divination, like fortune telling. If you were somebody who read tarot cards, or I have in my book Moon Magic, how to read tea leaves, it's a great time for intuition, or you could just sit there and intuit things. So it would be a great time to give yourself a reading or give somebody else a reading. A lot of people have festivals. People get married under, you know, super moons. And those are good for the people who are moon tolerant. So spells also that are life-changing, if you're not full moon sensitive, those can be very powerful. I want to change my career, you know, completely. And you're using all of this energy is just kind of pouring into you. And, you know, you're putting it back out into the universe, and the universe is going, okay, I can hear you really loudly, more so than normal. And these things can very much come into fruition. So anything that you really want or that can be very, that could cause a very major change in your life. But if, again, if you're moon sensitive, you want to do it maybe 3 days before the full moon or 3 days after.
Okay, and then what does a spell involve? Like, do we need to bring out some... set a fire, or what do we need to do?
Well, it depends on what kind you're doing, but I always tell people in my Moon Spells book that you should always, well, first plan on what you're going to do. Let's say it's for a new career, a new job. You're going to sit in a circle, okay, because you're always safe within the circle. And when I say safe, I don't necessarily mean from people. I mean just safe from negative energy coming in. And some people, there are different things you can do. Some people might want to put a little bell in their circle with them, and you ring it, and that kind of keeps away negative energy. I'm trying to put this in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And some of them, if you want love in your life, you might want to bring, a crystal that you've programmed prior to bring love into your life. Some people burn incense just because they like the smell of the incense, or certain smells or aromas, fragrances, represent certain things, and I have that all listed in my Moon Spells book. So there are several things you can do. That's why a lot of people have full moon altars. Mm. You know, you could put a picture of whoever you think your higher power is. It might be a god, it might be a goddess, it might be Jesus, you know, it might be this, it might be that. Nature could just be your god. And you kind of reflect on all of these elements that you add, and it makes the whole spell more powerful. Mm. And my Moon Spells book, it's all very positive. There's nothing evil or negative or anything like that. And people hear the word spells sometimes, and it kind of freaks them out, but that's not the case. It's just a word.
Mm. So you can't, like, cast a bad spell on, like, your coworker who keeps stealing your ideas.
Well, you know, I think that actually you can.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't recommend it. I don't know how to do it. I wouldn't even agree to tell anybody how to do it.
Right.
That's a whole different kind of magic that I don't get involved with. But I think that not even casting a spell, but you could send a lot of negative vibes to somebody. And, you know, our minds are so positive that, you know, things can happen. That's why I always recommend, I think in both of my books, especially Moon Spells, that before you sit and do any kind of spell, you really need to protect yourself with like a white light or with a shield. And that's also where that circle comes in. It's like a protection, and you're not letting anything negative in your life. When I go somewhere and I meet somebody, or I just see somebody and they've done nothing to me, but I don't get a good feeling about them for whatever reason, I immediately visualize a white light like a shield all around me, just so I can't pick up any negativity from that person. Because sometimes we're like a sponge, and we can just pick up that negativity.
Wow, that's really beautiful. And it's true. Some people just give off bad vibes. And I'm sure some days we all give off bad vibes, but that's really amazing. I had heard that you can cleanse your crystals on a full moon. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Crystals have a tendency to kind of build up energy that need to be cleared out sometimes. And when I say to clear a crystal, there are different ways to do it. You've got to get rid of the negativity in the crystal, or sometimes crystals take what I call psychic hits. They kind of protect you from negativity. Or sometimes, let's say you used a crystal because you wanted to take a trip, and you were trying to find enough money to take a trip. So you programmed all of this energy for this trip. You got your trip, and now you don't want to throw your crystal out, so you just wash it and use it again. So the light of a full moon can actually clear your crystal. You would put it in front of yourself, let's say, or just you could put it outside. I take my crystals and I just put them outside on a table, and I just Maybe we'll recite a few words, you know, like the God of my understanding, clear this crystal. Or sometimes I will point it in the direction west and kind of give it a swoosh. And like all the negativity goes to the west, just like the sun goes down.
Mm.
It kind of takes it with you. Or sometimes I'll take a crystal and I'll put it under just water, and I'll visualize anything that I don't want in there going down the drain, or you can put it in a lake or whatever. But the moon is a great way to cleanse a crystal.
Hmm. And lastly, what do people mean when they say Mercury is in retrograde, and why is it such a big deal?
When they say Mercury is in retrograde, it means everything is sort of off. It's like if you ever went to a drive-through car wash and you're sitting there and you know your car is not moving, but you know you see those little things on the side and they make you feel like you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's just where the planet is kind of it's making us do everything wrong and do everything off. When Mercury is retrograde, they say don't sign contracts because they'll probably never work out. I wouldn't sign contracts, book contracts, when Mercury's retrograde.
Yeah.
I don't tell them that, but I make up excuses. Now everybody might know. But so it just means that it can shift the energy of Mercury working backwards, so to speak, can just kind of shift into something that is disappointing for us. So many of my friends will say, Mercury's retrograde, so I'm just going to sit here for 14 days and not do anything. So it's all very interesting. That can be sort of a little complicated, but that's it in a nutshell.
So it's 2 weeks and it's three times a year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what my understanding was. Now, an astrologer might tell you something different, and they would probably know a little more, but I always keep track of it just on, you know, you can keep track of these things on the, you know, on the internet or books or magazines, but that's where you have to always look up and you have to watch the skies. You have to make sure that you know what everything's doing all the time. As the moon shifts into other planets too, once a day we get something called void of course, where the planets are transitioning from one stage to another, and then everything can be thrown off too. It's like nothing happens.
Mm. You're a fascinating woman. I feel like you have a house that's like got like pashminas and crystals and candles and bobcats in your backyard. And
I'm sitting in my office right now, and frankly, other than the bobcat, I do have all of those things.
I love it. And also, the books really are like a guide to all you need to know when it comes to the moon, and like in an in-depth but basic way. Like, you're not going to get too overwhelmed if you read these books, and that's what I like about them. It's like a great introductory, as far as I can say, it's as deep as I want to go, because if I go any deeper, I think there'd be too many things that I'd be thinking of, planets and crystals and moons, and you know, so I think it's perfect. It does touch on all those things, but I think these books are perfect for like the beginner into moon magic.
It would actually overwhelm you. You would drive yourself crazy if every 5 minutes you're looking to see what phase of the moon, you know, what phase of the moon it is, or what planet the moon is in. The planets, you know, the moon is in Aries, the moon is in, you know, Capricorn. You could drive yourself crazy. You wouldn't have a life. So you have to only sort of use it when you really want to, but always be aware of it. You know, every morning I wake up and I look at what phase the moon is. I mean, I pretty well know, but sometimes if you get busy, you can lose track. So I try to write it simplistically as I could, and some of it gets more complicated, and other parts are like, oh, well, that just makes common sense.
Mm-hmm. Diane, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, if you want to win one of Diane's latest books, this is going to change your life. Head over to Instagram, find at Mindful Mostly, follow the page, and then in the contest post, which you're going to see, make sure that you tag a friend and then subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and I could be sending a copy your way. Good luck. You know what the challenge is for this week. Moonwork, baby. January 31st, we're going to have a full moon, the first total lunar eclipse of the year. And this hasn't happened in 150 years, so it is supercharged, my friend. Figure out how you want to take it in and what you want to put out to the universe that day. And remember, let's say you've got plans that day. You're busy. Don't worry, because the moon is always a-moving. And after talking to Diane, we know that there are some serious phases that we need to take advantage of. By the way, if you want to win a copy of her book, you know what you got to do. Follow the @mindfulmostly Instagram. Tag a friend in the contest post. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Next week on the show, this is cool, Robin Youkilis is going to be here. She is a certified health coach, internationally renowned speaker, leading expert in holistic digestive health, and author of the New York Times best-selling book, Go With Your Gut. Now she has her next book, Thin From Within, The Go With Your Gut Way to Lose Weight. Yes, please. So that is in episode 11, which, by the way, going to start dropping episodes on Mondays. So we're setting you up for the perfect week. In the meantime, hit me up on the gram @mindfulmostly, and I'll talk to you next week.